The question today is, how can a wife win her husband, her lost husband to the Lord? This is part two today, and we read the book of 1 Peter, dealing with chapter 3, verse number 1 through verse number 6, showing how that a wife can win her husband. Now, the word win, or using the word won in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 3, verse 1, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wise, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So it says for the wife to be in subjection to her lost husband and not to leave him. Some say, I wouldn't live with him, but we read and studied in 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, where that he said, let that wife not depart. In other words, but because God sanctifies that husband, that means sets him apart to deal with him and because of the wife's submission. And not only because of the wife's submission, because she reverences him and respects him, not to something he does wrong, but as far as the person. She's married to him. She married him, and she has the vows to better or worse, or whatever, until death do us part. So she's to abide by that. So she wants to reach him. And by the way, you don't win. Win means to influence or persuade. That's what your subjection does. That's what your reverence does. And we're going to study today about this the conversation or your adorning or what you wear and how you live and how you act. Let your conversation be purity. Be purity, chaste conversation referred to in verse number 2 of 1 Peter chapter 3. And so, therefore, you see this thing of the world teaching that we need to be soul winners. The Holy Ghost is the soul winner. And he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible said in Proverbs, I understand that, but that means to influence or persuade, which is what the Bible refers to in the New Testament time as being a witness. And so, therefore, we see the wife, she needs to be in subjection to her husband, she needs to reverence her husband, and she needs to have a chaste conversation, manner of living, in other words, her conduct should be such. But it said in verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 3, whose adorning, meaning the wife who's saved, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. In other words, the word adorning means the ornament, decoration, or adornment. In other words, let it not be that outward. Outward means externally. This is in contrast with what verse 4 deals with, the internal. You see, the adorning needs to be internal. Now, this verse deals with three things that the wife should not use to influence her husband. You see, these things should not be followed if you're to influence anyone to the Lord. That is, plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, and it says there, and putting on of apparel that it's dealing with there, wearing, putting on of apparel. Now, the word, the phrase plaiting the hair means an interweaving, braiding, or a knot. It means elaborate braiding of the hair. Now, history tells us that the Roman women of that day were addicted to ridiculous extravagance and the adornment of their hair. Oh, look around today. It applies to the styles that are worldly and attract attention to the flesh today. And he's saying, don't let that be what causes others to look to you. Not the flesh, nor a wearing of gold. The word wearing means the act of putting around. It's referring to an adornment consisting of the golden ornaments placed around the neck, head, and the body, in essence. And it gives a picture of these wives covering their persons with a lavish, conspicuous display of jewelry. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, speaks against the golden combs and nets used for hair ornaments. In other words, dress in modest apparel with shamefacedness that he talked about there. In other words, and he also uses the negative of putting on the apparel. Don't let it be that, putting on of the apparel. It's referring to the outward clothing. See, the purpose of clothing is for protection of the body and for the sake of modesty and good taste. And so it means not to adorn the body to attract attention to the flesh. Boy, I'd ought to say something to you. And if you've got a lost husband, you better be sure that if you go out dressed like many of them are today and in the wrong kind of clothing and the things that draw attention to your flesh, you're not adorning like God said for you to be so that your husband might be sanctified, set apart so he can deal with you. You see, All three of these things that he talked about here in verse number 3 refer to worldly adornment, the kind of things they wore before they were saved. The immodest, they were gaudy, they were conspicuous. They drew attention to the flesh and self instead of reflecting Christ. Now, if a wife adorns herself opposite of what the Lord says, the beauty of the Lord is hidden beneath the veneer of worldliness. Now, most who wear such of this and use this, they are not saved, and there is no beauty of the Lord even there to show. So Peter's not forbidden having your hair fixed or wearing the jewelry as some try to teach today, but certain religions teach you not to wear jewelry of any kind. And these same women who wear their hair plaited up and wear the clothing, in other words, their action is a fulfillment of Matthew 23:24. They gag at a gnat and they strain at a gnat and swallow a camel is what it amounts to there. See, if one's forbidden, then all would be forbidden. So the same ones who forbid wearing gold plait their hairs and they put on clothes. If you're taking this to literally say they can't wear any jewelry, then they can't wear any clothes. And we know God's against that. What it's saying, don't do it in worldliness, something to attract attention to the flesh, but do it modestly and with shamefacedness. Means something inside, Holy Ghost of God, that makes you blush when you do it wrong. You don't want to attract the flesh wrongly. And he says, do that for your husband, not for the world, but for your husband. Let it be in modest apparel with shamefacedness. Now, Peter's trying to show the saved wives how to win their husbands to the Lord. Don't do these things in excess. Makeup could be added to this list. I've seen some that look like clowns, and you would not even know them if their faces were washed and their hair combed out straight. No wonder so many marriages fail. They wake up the next morning, and they don't know who they married. And then, by the way, that works both ways for the husband and the wife as well. Now, there's a warning here for young girls. Do not use this method to find your mate. Romans 12:2 said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, that verse basically states not to masquerade in the garments of the world. Now, I think Jezebel is an example of a woman trying to catch a man's attention with her flesh. Because it said in 2 Kings 9:30, and when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face, tied up her hair, and looked out the window. And of course, when Jehu got there, he said, is anybody on the Lord's side? Throw her down. And they threw her down, and she died there that day. Well, she's the woman of the world that nobody wants to follow after, or shouldn't want to, and yet there's many out there who do. If you want to win your husband, don't let it be the outward adorning. But verse 4 says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. And of course, it's talking about the wife. Here, man's a generic word. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. In other words, that word but shows a contrast between what not to adorn and what to adorn, what put on and what not to put on. You see, it's a hidden man of the heart. Refers to the personality of the Christian woman as made beautiful by the ministry of the Holy Spirit in glorifying the Lord Jesus and manifesting Him in and through her life. And then you notice it said, in that which is not corruptible. And that means not liable to corruption or decay. It means imperishable. It refers to a meek and a quiet spirit, not like the corruptible things that the world dresses with, excessive hair pieces, gold, and fancy clothing. They'll decay and fade away. But a meek and a quiet spirit will never fade away. It is incorruptible. Of course, the word spirit, referring to disposition, it means the whole inner man as opposed to the flesh. The word meek means humble, mild, gentle. The meek spirit does not flash in anger and does not fight back in words. Instead, it takes harsh words gently and humbly. And when he said a quiet and meek spirit, the word quiet means calm, tranquil, free from emotional disturbance or agitation. The quiet spirit is peaceable in itself, and it spreads peace all around to others, even to their husbands who's lost if they put that on. And you notice he said there, which is in the sight of God of great price. The word which is referring back to a meek and a quiet spirit. So it said it's a great price. That means it's excellent. It's of surpassing value. It's precious. The outward adornments are costly in the sight of the world, but the meek and the quiet spirit is precious in the sight of God or before God, or in the face of God, or in the estimation of God. Now look at verse 5. He said, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." In other words, the word "for" introduces a general example of what he had just stated in verse number 4. "After this manner," or "in this manner," "in this way," referring to the meek and the quiet spirit of verse number 4. When he said "in the old time," that means formerly. It's referring to the Old Testament days, especially the time of the patriarchs. I mean, he called them holy women. That was not some particular or unique class of women, but just ordinary sinners saved by grace. He said that they trusted in God. They had hope in God. That's equivalent to saving faith. And they adorned themselves, mean they had a meek and a quiet spirit, and showed that by being in subjection to their own husband, just what Peter had said. Of course, subjection means to submit to one's control. It's a Greek military term meaning to arrange in military fashion under the command of a leader. So Peter writes for Christian women to consider the example of godly women of the Old Testament. And in verse 6, he gives a specific example of Sarah, as he said, "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." And of course, Lord is the word in that's the title of respect, and it's a lowercase letters so as not to be confused with the Lord Jesus Christ. But she obeyed means to hearken to a command she submitted to be obedient unto. And the tense reveals that her whole life was one of obedience to Abraham. And when she called him Lord, that reveals that she acknowledged that he had a right to direct the affairs of the household, and that it was her duty to be in subjection to him as the head of the family. You see, this that Peter's talking about applies to all wives. Whether your husband is saved or lost, how to win them is by being in subjection, by reverencing them, and by adorning with a meek and a quiet spirit, inward adorning instead of outward adorning. Now, every wife ought to do that whether your husband is saved or lost, because it just might be that you're living with an unsaved husband and do not know it, or you do not want to admit it. Therefore, as a pilgrim, adorn yourself with a quiet and a meek spirit, and you can have an influence on your husband. He'll be sanctified by your actions. In other words, means that he'll be set apart for God to deal with him because of your submission, because of your reverence, and because of your holy living that you have. Not adorning outwardly, but adorning inward with a quiet and a meek spirit. This is how a wife can win her lost husband to the Lord. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.